Hi, this is Tim Underwood, a committed friend and follower of Jesus Christ. I've wrestled with what that might mean in practical, day-to-day ways. Here are some of my thoughts. They've helped me clarify a few things. I hope they're useful for you as well, or at least get you thinking. She referred to the messy process our church, not my current one, was going through at the moment as we tried to figure out if a church member had committed a serious sin and was unrepentant about it. We leaders were trying to intervene. It wasn't just that she was on the other side of the issue. The whole idea of challenging another individual Christian's spiritual conduct was problematic to her, even if there was obvious sin involved, which wasn't that clear in this case. To her, this was none of our business. It was only between the person and God. What we were attempting is called church discipline. Today, the phrase church discipline is one of the most uncomfortable, least used terms in Western Christianity, even among evangelicals. It's seldom implemented. The whole idea just seems weird to us in practice, if not in theory, even though the process is clearly advocated in Scripture by Jesus himself in Matthew 18, not to mention Paul in 1 Corinthians 5. Why is church discipline so unpopular today? Number one, church discipline is unpopular because it's hard to decide where it applies. The church is full of sinners / saints, pastors included. Sin goes on all the time, both in the church, in the home, and elsewhere. Where should the church jump in, and where should we just cut the other person some slack and pray that God will help them grow? Or maybe gently challenge them and leave it at that? Overdoing the discipline aspect could lead to a church full of finger pointers and paranoia. Number two, church discipline is unpopular today because of postmodern thinking. Postmodern thinking, at least in theory, says that we have no right to choose absolute values for anyone but ourselves. The previous statement is in itself an absolute value, but that's another column. In other words, it's out of line to, quote, judge anyone. This notion has at least partially crept into a lot of churches. We don't want to be seen as intolerant or judgmental, especially to those we want to reach outside of the church. Number three, church discipline is unpopular today because few have seen it practiced. When was the last time you saw discipline practiced at a level which involved the whole church? If you're under 40, probably never. It seems a relic of the past, of a more rigid, more conformist time. Number four, church discipline is unpopular today because it usually causes trouble. People take sides, particularly if a friend or family member is the one being challenged. There are acrimonious exchanges, even splits. People leave the church, especially the one being disciplined, unless they have enough backers, in which case the other side leaves or the pastor gets booted. It's painful for everyone, which leads to the next point. Number five, church discipline is unpopular today because churches are afraid of losing their attenders. With churches struggling today to maintain attendance, church leaders hesitate to risk losing attenders over a church discipline issue. Is this worth the risk, they ask? Maybe it will just blow over. Number six, church discipline is unpopular today because we live in an independent society. Americans are very independent, resistant to authority, especially in the church. They see church leadership more as one might see the owner of a restaurant or someone there to serve them, rather than as leaders to follow. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Paul speaks of those who are, quote, over you in the Lord. Those words, in fact, the whole idea of the church having authority over us, feels odd and almost un-American. A little advice is fine. Authority, less so. So unless it's in-your-face blatant, the pastor openly sleeping with the church secretary, we tend to look the other way or just talk about the sin behind people's backs. Yet without well-exercised church discipline, a church displeases God, becomes infected with sinful compromises, loses its power to transform, and struggles to build deep godly relationships. This leads to our next question. How can we exercise church discipline well? Number one, we exercise church discipline well by starting with ourselves. Remember that Jesus told us when dealing with the sin of others to first take the plank out of your own eye. Matthew 7:5. If I'm not dealing with my own sin, it's hypocritical of me to challenge yours. Plus, working on my own flaws first humbles me and gives me more wisdom. Which leads to a related point. Number two, we exercise church discipline well by accepting it ourselves. If you want to challenge others, are you willing to be challenged yourself, to accept a rebuke, to admit a wrong? Or is it just others who need it, not you? It's rare, unfortunately, to hear even mature believers admit wrongs and ask forgiveness. Number three, we exercise church discipline well by understanding its range. In my opinion, most church discipline doesn't need to reach the more extreme levels described by Jesus and Paul, where it becomes a whole church issue and may involve putting a person out of church fellowship while still loving them. Jesus himself spoke of going to the person first, one-on-one, dealing with the sin at that more private level, if possible. I'll go even further in subtleness. The holiness level of a church can often be maintained by clear, no-holds-barred preaching and teaching, godly leaders, other saints modeling holy lives, and encouraging accountability groups or friendships. Often, I just pray for people. Number four, we exercise church discipline well by understanding when more serious action is critical. While most sins can be left between the person and God, prayed for or gently challenged, there are sins which, if maintained in defiance, must be treated at the next level, which involves bringing in another person and, if necessary, the whole church. This is true for two reasons. First, the person trapped in sin may need the extra pressure of church discipline to help them realize how serious the situation is. And second, the church itself or those in it who know of the sin will be negatively affected if they realize that the church is aware of it and has chosen to ignore it. They may then either imitate it or rationalize some other sin in their own lives if sin seems to be no big deal in the church, or just leave. Number five, we exercise church discipline well by valuing holiness. Holiness for a sincere believer is not optional. It's vital. Without it, our Christianity is a sham. With it, we are spiritually beautiful. Sin, unintended, ruins both the individual believer and often corrupts the church as well. Number six, we exercise church discipline well by accepting its consequences. Those churches who take church discipline seriously will often pay a painful price. There will be conflict. People will leave. They will be seen as judgmental or legalistic or uptight. Is it worth it? Yes, it is. Number seven, we exercise church discipline well by using it carefully and lovingly. Church discipline is hard to use well, so go slowly. Be selective in its application. Expect people to resist at first. Give them time. And act in humble love. We're all sinners trying to help each other grow. The goal is restoration, not punishment.
May God bless you in your journey toward Him.